Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this getaway Friday night. Kind of getting dark out there here in Marion, Ohio. You're tuned into Friday Night Live. It is a Friday night, July the 15th, 2022, 13 minutes past the hour. Rain off and on here in Marion. The clouds have shown up over the city of Marion as we head into this great weekend, mid-July. Scott Spears joined in studio by Angie Evers, back after a week hiatus at the fair. How you doing, Angie?
You want to know how I'm doing?
I do.
Like today?
Today was not good for you.
No, I had a migraine today.
Those are never good. Kind of painful.
It's probably this weather.
Well, it is. And for people who suffer with migraines, when the allergies are up, or it is a summer month where the temperatures are up, it is very difficult, especially if a storm is brewing.
Yes, I've had I woke up with a migraine today, so. But, I mean, it wouldn't be so bad, but my medicine makes me feel really bad, so I had to take it before I went to work, so I just have not felt good all day.
Now, if anybody knows any migraine cures, like home remedies, give us a buzz. 740-751-4038. We are live. 740-751-4038. And I do want to remind everybody that the Will Rogers Follies is going on at the Marion Palace Theater Friday night, tonight, 7:30. It's already underway. And tomorrow night at 7:30. And then Sunday at 2 p.m. And we had four big winners I guess it was our contest for the Will Rogers Follies at the Marion Palace Theater. Our four big winners were Sarah Burgraff, Judy Cressup, Judy Smith, and who was the fourth one? Judy Smith, Judy Cressup, Trish Franklin. Those were our four winners. So we gave away eight tickets to the Marion Palace Theater. We had Kirk Detweiler on earlier in the week, the executive director at the Palace. And I hear this is a really fantastic show. So all you guys who won tickets, remember you've got two tickets each. So if you have any friends, take them with you, and you'll have a great time.
That'll be fun.
Will Rogers was a great American, and it's the story of Will Rogers, but done with music and song and all kinds of great stuff. Oh, we got a call right off the bat here. We're flying on this Friday night. Hey, go ahead, caller.
Yes, I would like to congratulate Andy and Natalie, and if she has time, tell us about their experience last week.
Well, that sounds good. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it was front page news on Sunday, I believe it was. It was a great, great article.
Yeah, that was nice. And Nally was excited. It was a very exhausting week, to say the least. I ended up staying out at the fairgrounds all but one day, so from Sunday night through the following Sunday, I stayed out there every day but one day. So my sister and her husband have a camper, but my sister is not a camper, so I ended up staying. So it was hard because I still have animals at home, so I was constantly, you know, at least three times a day running back home, you know, in the morning, noon, and night to let my dogs out. And then the first day I was there, my car broke down, so I had to have my car towed out of the fairgrounds, so that was no fun. And luckily, my son keeps his car in my garage, so he doesn't know it, but I was able to use his car while my car was in the shop. And with it being over the holiday weekend, you know, there was, you know, I think it went to the shop on Sunday.
Sunday,
was
I believe.
Sunday? And I didn't get it back for probably over a week. I just got it back this week.
Now, as far as the lambs went, that turned out great. I was there on Saturday. That was the first time I ever went to the livestock show.
Right. And I'm sure you want to go back, right?
Well, I did. I enjoyed it. Because see, you think I'm not country. But here's the thing.
You were missing your cowboy hats and cowboy boots.
Well, if I'd known that you were supposed to dress for the event, I would have done that. What I was unaware of is that they had a buffet.
Well, for the buyers.
Right, but I mean, I could have been a prospective buyer. Next year I'll work that out.
Okay.
Because I could buy one of those rabbits.
Yeah, you could. You could buy a chicken.
Buy a
chicken?
Sure.
Would be good.
Yeah, I like chicken.
Or you could buy a pig.
Oh, there's a lot of pigs. That's what I learned.
There are
a lot of pigs.
Yes.
3 hours of pigs.
It was like 3 hours of pigs. And then, at the beginning of the week, let's see, Nally showed on Tuesday, which she had never done any type of showing or anything before. So when she went out in the ring, I don't know, I guess I'm going to call it a ring, I don't know what you call it, but when she went out, she really didn't know what to do, because she had never done it before, so, hold on.
All right, well, hey, go ahead, caller.
Hey, how you
doing? Doing good, how are you?
All right, what was the highest priced animal there at the live show? Livestock auction.
Well, I believe one of the chickens sold for $250,000.
No. Are you serious?
No.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I'm about to say, come on now.
No, that was
I see somebody giving up a prize bull or something like that, but not a chicken.
Well, I tried to bid on a chicken, but they didn't, you know, I didn't want to show off the wealth. But,
I think, is it more just for charitable purposes?
Oh, certain. Well, I don't really know. You know, I could not figure that out, because I'm sure these people who bought these pigs wanted hamburger. But
hamburger.
Yeah, but they bought pigs, so they got pork chops.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know that it's really charitable, because they do get the meat.
Well, the money goes back to the kids. I mean, really.
Right. So I guess in that way it is.
I couldn't hear what she said. The money goes what?
Back to the kids.
Goes back to the kid, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I assume, like, a lot of these people that are buying these animals don't have an area for this animal to live.
Oh, no, they're not buying them for pets, I don't think.
No, sometimes they
give buy them
back.
For themselves, for slaughter to eat.
You know, honestly, the highest price I remember hearing, I think, was $2,800, somewhere in that neighborhood.
You know, I'd assume that was for a steer.
Oh no, I'm sure the steers went for more.
Yeah, I didn't. I walked in after that.
But it was a steer, though.
I think that was a pig.
A pig?
Yeah, there were some pigs that went for over $2,000.
That's crazy.
You know what's interesting? The people who run Wagner Pork, who were at the fair, bought their kid's pig.
Well, that makes sense. And I think that's what a lot of it is. Remember we used to have the art sales at school where your parents would come and they would buy your art or whatever, what it would be. But obviously that money was going to school.
Well, that's true. You know, I was thinking the other day, when's the last time there was a cakewalk?
Cake, see? I remember the freaking cakewalk. I was talking about that the other day. I remember it was old Indian Mountain Elementary School. And we used to have a fun night, and we had the cakewalk.
The old cakewalk?
It was like any event where, you know, your parents were supposed to bring something in or whatever. My mom cooked so good. Every time we had the cakewalk or any other event, any of the candy my mom made, the teachers took that for themselves. They're like, we'll take this. They never put that out for the sale, the cakewalk, or any of that.
You know, I don't remember my mom ever contributing to these cakewalks, but I do remember participating in them, and they were always fun because you knew the kids' parents whose cake you got.
Yeah. Like I said, they were always, my mom made really good cakes and stuff, candies, anything. They would just take my mom's stuff.
Well, it was, I tell you, a lot of money got swapped on that floor there because it was about 7 hours long, that whole selling process.
The livestock auction.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it starts way early in the morning.
Yeah, I was there from about 8:30 till 3:30, and it was still going.
I don't think you were there at 8:30.
I was there before you.
Well, no, I was listening from the camper. And I was, well, maybe you were, but maybe around 9. It didn't start till 9.
Well, I must have heard the prelims.
No, they did the grand champions first. So.
Well, in any event, I was there from, let's say, 9 until 3:30, and it was still going when I left.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hey, good talking to you guys.
Hey, good. Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. But all turned out well at the fair and ended up getting a very, very, very nice article. And I was looking at the articles that were in the paper last week about the fair. That was really the only personalized article that I saw. There were some stories about, you know, Thursday was great at the fair and things like that. But that had a nice personal touch.
Yeah, that was nice.
You were on the front page of the paper.
That's kind of scary.
No, it was. It was true.
Yeah, but I know that's a little scary, though, me being on the in the paper. Cause,
no, it was good.
Well, that whole week, I mean, I don't think I fixed my hair at all that week. I mean, my hair is just, you know, long and straight. But anyway, if I don't straight iron it every day, it gets really frizzy. But it was so humid out that even if I did run the straightener through it, it just went to frizz and... So, I was looking pretty rough all week, and I had a migraine, like, every day last week. Last week was just not a good week for me.
Well, the fair weather was there. Everybody said that. Everybody I talked to, everybody who was on the show from the fair, everybody who came to the fair from WWGH said the same thing. It was either extremely hot and humid, or it was raining. It rained so much that there was puddles all week on the ground. It just was a very different atmosphere than fairs that I remember from the past.
Oh, I mean, you expect that kind of weather, though. It's fair week, so you just expect that kind of weather. So, I mean, it's nothing new to fair people.
Oh, but I've been going to the fair for about 20 years with the radio station.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not out in the barns and stuff, and I mean.
Well, I used to go talk to the 4-H kids.
Yeah.
And the animal kids.
Well.
I remember there's usually always one big storm, and then that's about it. But this time, it was just.
There was a really bad storm. I mean, I was out there that night. We were in the camper. But I was so tired, I slept fine through it.
There was a bad storm last week, and that was the day, I think, it 3 inches of rain fell. And it was, boy, that day I went out there was mud everywhere, and just big puddles of water. It was tough.
Our lambs were on the west side of the barn, so I worried about them with the storm. But they had put a tarp up. But it still was, like, damp, so I made sure Natalie cleaned their pen out, so.
But it was nice. It was a good fair. Everybody had a good time. It was nice to see the newspaper article as the fair wrapped up. I think everybody was pleased and happy with that. But it turned out okay.
Yeah. Well, the first night, the Tuesday night, they had the showmanship, and Natalie was... She was going out. She took the one lamb. She only had to do the one lamb for showmanship, not both of them. So she did really good, though. She didn't take the time to put the lamb's legs even, which I think if she would have just taken a little extra time, she would have gotten a better place than fourth, But we were thrilled that she got fourth because she had never done it before. So it was her first time out there. So we were excited about that. She was very excited. So we were really proud of her for that. And the judge, she was really good for the showmanship night. She came out and she would tell the kids, like, what they need to do or what is good about their lamb or not so good. But when the judge, she was talking to Natalie, like, one-on-one out there, and she said Natalie was like a jack-in-the-box when she went out. But I think Natalie was so scared that she just was, like, startled. The judge could tell that, and Natalie did tell her it was her first time out there. So, but she still placed, so that was great. And then the next night was the Market Lamb Show. So, prior to the Market Lamb Show, Natalie helped one of her friends show a breeding sheep. So, but they ended up getting, like, grand champion or something, breeding sheep. So, she helped show them.
And then she got, one of the lambs got second place in something, did it not?
Yeah, in the market lamb show. Her one lamb, which we knew was the better of the lambs, that one got second place. But she did really good with that. I mean, she was second place. The first place was the grand champion. So she was second place.
That's something to be proud of.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, unless you know how these things work, you don't, it's kind of confusing, but they have all the different classes. So the market lamb, the heavyweights, her lambs were in the heavyweights. So they had, her one lamb was in the one, which she got second. And then she had to hurry, which I had to hold on to her other lamb while she was showing the one lamb. I held on to the other lamb. And then as soon as she was done with that lamb, she had to come get the other lamb because they took the other class, the second class, right out. So she had to hurry and get the other lamb and go right out. Well, she got fifth place with that lamb in that show. Well, in that class, she got fifth. So, but we were still excited about that because she placed. She placed in everything that she did. So she,
that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, she placed in the showmanship, and then she placed in both of her market classes. I mean, she didn't get, like, grand champion or reserve grand champion, which is fine, but she, I think if she would have known what she was doing a little better, she probably would have done a little better, but, I mean, with her being new, I mean, I didn't expect, like, grand champion.
Well, what I was so impressed with was, and I think I said this somewhere, maybe I said it on the radio last week, was that, you know, when you come in from the ground up like that, and you've never done it before, and you're learning as you go, and there's not a whole lot of instruction, when it gets to the week, to the fair, and it's time to do it, you know, to be able to place and to be able to get out there and do it, that's impressive, and that's a very good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we started from ground zero. Like, we had nothing. And we did struggle. We struggled a lot because we ran into situations that, you know, just situations that we couldn't avoid, I guess. You know, and we didn't know what to do. And I mean, there was a couple of people that really helped us out, and, you know, a couple of people had to help transport our lambs because we don't have a truck, we don't have a trailer, so they were able to help us, so we were very fortunate for that. The people we got the lambs did come up, like, the week before fair and kind of gave us some guidance, so I was thankful that they did come up. They're really nice people. They live like an hour away, so it's just a little hard for them to come out. And they're busy themselves, so yeah. But it was exhausting. It's going to take me a whole year to recover from the fair, and, you know.
I don't know that it'll take that long, but I could see where a lot of work was being done, and I was proud of you both. I thought it was just great, and I'll tell you why the article is a good thing. Because we're becoming an age where I think one day the paper newspaper is going to go away, and I think that day's coming soon. And to have that on record, first year, and to have that newspaper, that's something you can keep and frame and put on the wall or put in a scrapbook or whatever, and you can always have that memory. And it's not a written, it's not like a diary. It's a written record, a front page of a newspaper. And when Natalie's talking to her grandkids, they're running bean newspapers, and she'll be able to say, I was on the front page of the Marion Star, the newspaper of a president.
And they're going to say, what's a newspaper?
And then Grandma explain it.
So
that's what I have to do, because my family was in the drive-in movie business, and back then it was hot, so now I have to describe to people what a drive-in movie is.
Well, I mean, there's still drive-in movie theaters.
But I don't think people get it.
Well, I don't know.
Well, people your age might, but people my age, we just don't get it. We're too young.
Oh, okay. I forgot. You're in your 20s,
right? Well, 27. Mm-hmm. 27. But 28 is getting close.
Well, I keep thinking my birthday's in 6 months. And I feel like I just had a birthday.
You know, this has been a very awkward year. I don't know if the gods came down on 2022 and said, let there be change. But there has been a lot of change this year. Where 2021 was more of a stable year, 2022 has been a year of change. A lot of new stuff this year.
Yeah.
You got a new job?
I did.
Started, this animal process, that was new. I found out you can do a radio show in your pajamas.
Right.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
Whole new year.
Well, I'll tell you, the money that Natalie, well, she hasn't got any money yet, but when she gets her money from the lamb, she will have to buy the lambs herself this next year.
See, that's good.
So, you know, because she has no idea how much money I invested in these lambs, and I'll say that it's nowhere near the amount that she will get.
No, but you know what's interesting, and I've said it before, and I've said it on the air, so this is nothing new to anybody, but you are a very good mom, and it's hard to explain to a good mom that there are bad moms. And there are, and I've seen them. You know, working in the school system, unfortunately, you see a lot of them. And as time goes on, you know, a lot of times kids don't turn to their mothers for help. They don't feel comfortable doing that. And a lot of times their mothers can't provide the help, and sometimes it's just, unfortunately, they don't have the financial wherewithal, and it's tough. It's very, very tough. And you have always been there for your kids. I mean, Brandon was just home not too long ago, and you make his experience home very happy. Trips and out to eat, and you try to make it just very pleasant. And Natalie, all year round, you do things like this, and you make sure she gets to participate. I've never heard you say no to anything she wanted to participate in. So that is not the norm when you're dealing with moms.
Oh, believe me, I've told her no.
My mom, when I was 4 years old, dropped me off at the neighbor's house, and she picked me up when I was 8. And that was it.
She would probably say she picked you up when you were 60.
Well, I think that's all come back to haunt her.
I mean, she said you were 50 when you came out of the womb.
Well, you know, I here's the thing. I think I had to be responsible because I learned somewhere that responsible kids, it's not that the parents are unresponsible, but they're not hover parents. And my parents were young, so my parents were still living their life. They were still having fun. So, I'm not saying I lacked attention, But, I mean, they still went to New Year's Eve parties. They still went to Christmas parties. They still had young friends and did things. And, you know, so you don't take kids out to parties like that. So a lot of times you end up at the grandparents or the babysitters. So you have to develop kind of a responsibility of your own.
I mean, my mom and dad went out not very often. I mean, I remember staying the night at my grandma's, but not very often.
Oh, boy. My grandparents, and all my grandparents lived to be rather old and lived long in my life because my parents were young. So my grandparents, you know, lived. I didn't have a grandparent die till I was in my 30s. So, you know, they lived a long time, and they were healthy, and they were around. They came to my graduation of high school and college. And so, yeah, I spent a lot of time around my grandparents. And I think that probably contributed to responsibility, because they were the older people in my life.
Yeah.
But I loved grandparents. I loved that my parents were young enough that I got to know my grandparents, because my grandparents were really fun people. I liked them a lot. And if my parents had had me later in life, I wouldn't have gotten to know them that well.
Right.
So I'm glad I did. My grandparents were still working when I was young. You know, they weren't 65 yet. So I got to see that. My grandparents were different, though. See, my grandparents, you know, I had a grandfather. And I have not gotten to tell this story recently. But this was the type of guy my grandfather was. And I don't want him to come off bad in this story. But he did not have any tolerance for people. Now, he lived a long time. And as he got older, he mellowed out. But, now, this is my high school graduation. Now, he had to be, you know, up in age at my high school graduation. But he was healthy and he was good.
Well, he'd have probably been in his 60s.
Probably 60s, yeah. Probably, when I was in high school. So, there at my high school graduation. I thought about this story recently because we were in the Coliseum. And I graduated in the Vets Memorial Coliseum. So, I'm sitting there graduating. And my grandparents were sitting in the grandstand, like right next to where I was graduating. Like, they were right there, close. I could see everything that was going on. Well, I had graduated, so they decided they were going to leave. So they get up to walk out, and there was a guy who must have been videotaping, you know, with the old camcorder, his child's graduation. And he had a camcorder focused in on the stage. And he had his foot across the aisle, propped up against the bar, so nobody could get through. And I can't hear what's going on over here. All I can do is see what's going on over there. And to this day, I really don't know what happened. But all I saw was, there was some word. I don't know what the word was. I'm guessing what happened was they asked, my grandfather probably said, move your foot. And I think the guy said no. My grandpa field goal kicked this guy so hot. He went around in his chair and came back. And I've always thought for years after this that on somebody's graduation video, there's a moment in the footage where it just, like a tornado comes through. He kicked the guy. And my grandpa never looked back. He just kept on walking. That was him. But he was not that way with us. He was not that way with family members. But that man, you did not get in his way. He had no tolerance. He had no patience for people like that. You did not tell him no. Telling him no was a bad idea. And I think this guy found out the hard way. And the prologue to this story is, the guy must have said something bad after this happened. Grandpa was already gone, but my grandma must have heard him say something bad, so she turned around and threw her finger in his face and said something to him. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure that wasn't pleasant either. Because, and those were my grandparents. They had no, it was a, and anybody who knew him would tell you, he was a fearless guy.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. His father was a deacon, helped build a church over in Kenton, Ohio. His mother never learned how to drive. She used to can things like apple butter, and she was just the kindest old woman. But he didn't have his parents in him. He was a much more, maybe that was the thing. You know, I think you're the opposite of your parents in a way.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I think, you know, when you're younger. I think as you get older, you probably become more like them. But when you're younger, if you have very subdued parents, you're a little more wild. You know, like the preacher's daughters are crazy. But...
Okay.
Well, they are. I've known a few preacher's daughters in my day. And let me tell you. Well, I can't tell you. It's the radio. But... They're wild. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But no, the preacher's daughters are wild, and the guy who owns the bar, his daughter is the responsible one.
Yeah, I know that does happen. But...
I have always found that to be true, and I think that's the rebellion. I think that the church daughter is rebelling against the preacher, her father. But I think the bartender's daughter feels she has to be responsible for her parent.
Probably.
So that's what I've always felt. But anyway, have you ever noticed this in your life, callers? 740-751-4038. That's 751-4038. 740 area code. Anything on your mind on this getaway Friday night? But, you know, my parents were good. I'm not saying my parents were not good. They were just active.
Yeah. I mean, my dad did a lot of stuff, but, I mean, my mom was usually home with us.
See, my mom always worked. Always had a full-time job. So I was, you know, I had babysitters when I was very young. Usually they were family members, though, like grandparents or great aunts who had retired, things like that. But, you know, that was okay. I never had a bad experience with a babysitter that I remember.
Yeah.
It was okay, but my mom always worked. My mom's still working to this day.
Right. I think my mom did work, I think, when we got older, like into high school. I think she did. Work then.
I would not know what to do without work. This is what I have learned through this experience this year, is I don't know that I could ever totally stop doing everything. I missed doing certain things. Had I not been able to get up and do this show every morning, I think I would have went insane.
Yeah, it's hard. If you are used to getting up and going to work. That's why a lot of people retire and then they end up going back to work because...
Well, I'll tell you what it is. For me, when I wake up in the morning, and I always tell you this, I'm excited to wake up every morning, even if the night before was horrible. Like, let's say I had a bad day. And the next day, when I wake up, when that sun is coming through the window, and my eyes open up, I'm always, what's going to happen today? What am I going to see? What am I going to talk about? What's the day going to be like? What's the weather like? You know, I just want to know what happened overnight.
I guess I'm not like that. I mean, I don't ever feel refreshed when I wake up. So I guess it would be different if I slept all night and then woke up and said, man, I feel great. But that doesn't happen.
Well, I don't know if I always feel great. I wouldn't say that, but I'm always glad to wake up. Like, I can't just lay in bed. I've got to get up and do something. I've got to, I mean, I can't, I mean, I've taken naps. I'm not saying that. But when I wake up, I want to get up. If it's daylight, I want to do something. I want to find out what happened overnight.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I wake up, I get up. Well, I mean, I have to because I have to go to work. But, I mean, even on the weekends, when I wake up, I know, like, oh, I got to get up, do chores. I guess that's what I have to do when I wake up.
Well, see, I find life exciting. I find the fact that we were all born and that we're all here and that we're all living our life and that anything can change from minute to minute, I find that fascinating. That would be the only drawback to dying that I could see, because I want to know what's going to happen.
You don't think there's like another world out there and you just go to a different
Well, I'm not an atheist.
World?
No, I think something happens when you die. I'm not sure what, though, because I've never died. But if I do, I'll try to send word back.
Hey, you know, on TikTok, there's these people that talk to people who have, like, death experiences, and they tell you all about it.
You know, I know I've told this story before, but we play it on the station, the two-hour special that I did, Destination Heaven, where I interviewed a rabbi and a preacher and an atheist and somebody who had a near-death experience, and I did all that. And it was so funny because when that aired, that was one of the most popular specials we ever did, and I didn't think it would be. It was just kind of filler at Christmas time. And people were so interested in that, and that's one of the reasons we still play it. But people thought, I don't know what they thought. I don't know if they thought I was curious about religion, so that's why I did that. It really wasn't that. I did it because, well, I mean, I like to learn things. I thought it was fascinating that people of the Jewish faith don't believe that there's a heaven and a hell, that they believe this is it. This is life. So live your best life. And that's what I learned from the rabbi I talked to. But then I talked to a guy who had a heart arrhythmia on a treadmill and saw himself, looked down on the people working on him. I don't know what that was. That's fascinating. And then I talked to somebody who said, dying is just like going to sleep. Her heart stopped on the table 3 times. They brought her back with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But she did flatline 3 times, and she said it was just like falling asleep at night. So, it was all fascinating. And then the preachers, of course, who said that, you know, you die and you go to heaven and you see everybody who went before you. It's all fascinating.
Yeah, I like watching the stories online.
I don't know, though, who I would want to see and not see in heaven. There was a book years ago, I thought it was such a great book, I bought it for everybody for Christmas one year when I was in college. It was called, what was the name of it? It was something like The First 8 People You Meet in Heaven or something like that. It was a great book. Mitch Albom wrote it. First 8 People, First 7 People, something like that, You Meet in Heaven. It's a little read. It's not very long. And it's fascinating because who thinks about that? But if you believe in heaven and hell, if we're going to heaven, you know, who would be the first people you would meet?
I have no idea.
Well, it's fascinating to think about. Now, there are people who've went before me who I would like to see again. But then I'm not dead yet either, so there could be more people going to their reward.
Before you get there.
Before I get there. So maybe I'd want to see them. But it's all just kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
I just think that the whole... some people find the dying process very upsetting. And I understand why. I mean, you miss people. But I think it's okay. You know, you don't have to pay any more bills. You don't have to go to any more parties. You don't have to be on time for anything anymore.
No more migraines.
No more migraines. That's the topic today, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tough. Does anybody have a cure for this? Like ginger? 740-751.
I'm not drinking ginger. Yuck.
Even if it got rid of a migraine?
Yeah, I'd probably vomit.
Oh, no, ginger's good. I might slip some ginger in a drink of yours.
Sure.
740-751-4038. If anybody has anything to say out there in listener land, 740-751-4038, 52 minutes past the hour on a getaway Friday night. Rain off and on here tonight in the Marion area, and it certainly is that. Will Rogers Follies coming up on Sunday. The local theater has done some great, great productions, but I think opening that up last week against the fair was very tough, and I think he did say attendance was down last week.
Right, because the fair brings in a lot of people, especially on a Friday night. What did they have Friday night? The tractor pull?
Well, Saturday was the demo derby. I was there for that, collecting the table and everything.
So I think it was like the truck pull or tractor pull or something. I don't know. I didn't go down to watch anything.
You know, there's a lot of dust at the fair, is what I noticed this year.
Yes.
There's just clouds of dust everywhere.
That's nothing new.
No, but I guess I never paid attention to it before. Maybe it's because we were always in the Coliseum. And I would park in the Coliseum, which has a concrete parking lot, and then I would go inside. But where we were, there was kind of dirt area places. All right, you're on the air, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, Scott, when my dad was 8 years old, he cut his arm pretty good. And Grandpa dropped him off at the doctor's office and told him he'd be back in about a half hour, an hour. And came back and got him. The kid had to go in there holding, you know, a rag on his arm because he's bleeding, you know, and get it all taken care of all by himself.
Now, do you think your grandfather did that to be mean, or was that just the way it was?
And he just thought more of himself. He could be a good guy, but he ran around grandma all the time, you know, and he just... People were calling him Stinky. That was his nickname.
That's always a bad sign.
Yeah.
When you have a nickname like that. You know, it's very, very tough, to be honest, because, you know, but my grandfather, when I tell that story about him, he was not like that with family members. I only saw that side of him in situations. It just seemed, and I think his kids would say this, he has four kids, he just did not have a fear. And if he did have a fear of something, you never saw it.
Well, here's one thing that bothers me about my grandma and grandpa, is they was never religious. You never heard them say the word God, or they never went to church or nothing. But later on in their years, they both started having health problems. Grandpa had cataracts, which was able to take care of. Grandma had glaucoma, and she went practically blind. But when me and my brother was in our teens, we drove Grandma and Grandpa around to faith healers.
Oh, now, did...
That's the churches they went to.
Did they believe it?
I don't know. They believed that people was getting miracles, but...
Well, I mean, that's interesting, because I've never went to a faith healer, but I think that it does give people hope who are sick. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Even though I don't know that it works, it does seem to... I mean, I interviewed Leroy Jenkins, one of the most famous faith healers in the world, a good reverend from Delaware who became nationally known. And, you know, he was an... Have I ever said... I'm going to tell this story quick. There's more to it. But Leroy Jenkins moved to Arizona because he got ran out of Ohio for some stuff he did. But people still loved him, and they believed him. And he was coming back to Ohio, and I said, will you come to Marion? Because he was big here. He used to fill the Coliseum. And I said, would you come to Marion to do an interview while you're back in Ohio? And he said, yes. So I'm over. We did it at the Hogg Center, the Rick Center, on Main Street. And we advertised it in the paper. And right before the show, this guy came over, and clearly he was sick with something. I don't know what he had, but he had something. And he said, is this where Reverend Jenkins is going to be? And I said, yes. And he said, is there any ticket price? Because I don't have the money to get in. And I said, no, but I said, he's not going to be here for about another hour and a half. Okay, he said, I'll come back. So, he comes back. We had an audience for this interview. Now, Reverend Jenkins was not going to heal anybody. It was just me interviewing him for 2 hours. So, I did the interview with him. And at the end, because we had an audience, I said, does anybody have a question for the Reverend? This guy raised his hand. And the guy, I forget what he had, but he had something bad. And he was crying, asking for the Reverend's help. And the Reverend said something. It was some kind of prayer. I don't remember what it was. But I'll tell you, the guy left feeling better. Now, I don't know if that's mind over matter. I don't know if it's because he believed in him. And I don't know what happened to the guy. But
I believe it's up at Reverend Ainsley's in Akron. You ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he just died recently.
Did he?
Yeah.
And he picks people out of the audience, plus he has people line up. And you come down there and you tell him, you know, about your problem. I was an ankle and leg problem. And Grandpa wanted me to go up there and get prayed for. Well, I was, you know, he says stuff and he taps you on the forehead, makes it look like he pushes you down. So I was all tensed up and I said to myself, no, this guy ain't pushing me down. Now, next thing I know, I woke up on the floor.
I see, there you go.
So I didn't get healed, but evidently he has some, I don't know if it's mind over matter or what you say.
Have you ever been to one of these revivals where a woman goes screaming, running around the church?
No.
Oh, yeah, I've been to those where the woman will go up to the front and, you know, she's an older lady, and all of a sudden she's running around the church screaming, straight-laced, well-dressed woman. And I'm thinking, what is making her do that? Now, maybe it's just the power of suggestion. I don't know.
I've seen a man do that.
Yeah.
Older man.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit, if you never go to church in your life, never, you know, really believe in God or nothing, and then all of a sudden when you get sick, that's when you start going to church. But you don't go to church. You go to faith healing churches. I kind of think you're a hypocrite.
I'll tell you what, we're going to continue this conversation after the break. We got the break coming up, but stay tuned. It's a great topic. Call back after the break. We'll be back in about 15 minutes here on WWGH Radio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The talking place for people like legendary comedian Shecky Green talking about meeting legendary talk show host Ed Sullivan for the first time.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
The worst time?
The first time? Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time? What's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either time.